Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me on the podcast today. Today, I am finishing up a series, a teaching series from the Bible known as the Beatitudes, the life-transforming teachings of Jesus. I began this series back in February, and I had to stop it before the end in order to write my new book, The White Rose. And it has been a long time, and this today is the final installment in our incredible series about the teachings of Christ, known as the Beatitudes. Today we're going to focus in on the very last Beatitude, which talks about persecution. But in order to bring us back to center, I want to read to you those sayings of Jesus that we've already covered in this series. So if you have your Bible handy, turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And these are the life-transforming teachings and words of Christ on the Sermon on the Mount, known as the Beatitudes. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we did this series back in February, I identified these important points about the Beatitudes with you. The meaning of the word bless is to be happy, to be envied. If you are looking for satisfaction, fulfillment, and happiness, then the Beatitudes will speak to your heart. And we learned that the first thing that Jesus talked about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We learned that Jesus was saying that we all are poverty-stricken spiritually and in need of salvation through Christ. And we are happy to be envied when we recognize our spiritual poverty. I taught how these sayings, these Beatitudes, link together like pieces of nuggets on a pearl, on a little I'm thinking of the word now, and they're parts of a pearl, a strand of pearl. You have a strand of pearls, and each one of these Beatitudes fit together very nicely. If you are poor in spirit, you recognize your spiritual poverty, then blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That we are those that mourn over our own sins and mourn over the sin of our culture. We are blessed if we are meek, if we are humble, if we are teachable. Then blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that our love for Christ and his righteous rule in our lives is what drives us, is what we have a passion for. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The characteristic that Jesus wants to emphasize in these Beatitudes is that characteristic of mercy. We learn that the first four are talking about us personally, and then the next ones are talking about how we treat our neighbor, if we're merciful, if we're pure in heart, if we have a disdain for sin, if we are truly peacemakers, then those are those that are called sons of God. We come today to the last and perhaps one of the most striking, important parts of the Beatitudes. If all of these characteristics are true of you, then you show yourself to be a kingdom citizen of Christ. If all of these traits are in your life by the grace of God, then eventually the world around you is going to hate you, is going to strike out against you, is going to persecute you. And Jesus knows that if we implement these characteristics in our lives, being poor in spirit, mourning over sin, meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, you cannot exist very long without the world beginning to turn on you and hate you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I have a special page on Facebook that I update every day. It's called Praying for the Persecuted Church, with stories of persecuted Christians in Iran, Nigeria, China, and all over the world. It is the most trafficked page on my Facebook account. And it's all about persecution. It's all about the church that thrives, that grows, that stands up for the gospel during their persecution. Persecution, this word can generate vivid images of hiding in terror, of pursuing implacable foes, of being found and resolutely facing the excruciating pain of torture, meant to cause renunciation of our faith. And finally, hopefully, following faithful resistance to every agonizing constraint to deny the faith, even death. Now, that word persecution conjures up the image of a courtroom scene where one endures a penetrating inquisition before ecclesiastical or civil authorities. Some think of the Roman Colosseum filled with people cheering as hungry lions chase down defenseless Christians, of people lashed to a stake as piled wood and lighted beneath him, or a person chained in a dark, dirty cell, prison cell, with rats scurrying around his feet. Each of these images can be a dreadful, unwanted result of our faith in God. Yet Jesus says here, in this final beatitude, he says, those persecuted for righteousness' sake, they are blessed. They will be greatly rewarded. In a culture and even in a church that preaches peace, prosperity, health, and wealth, a false church, persecution is the trademark of Christians. Strong's Concordance reveals that persecute, the Greek dioko, means to pursue, follow after, or press toward. Vine's Expository Dictionary adds to put to flight or drive away. Only within certain contexts does it take on the sense of oppression, of ill treatment, abuse, tyranny, and even martyrdom and murder. Persecution is therefore aggressive and injurious behavior carried out in a hostile, antagonistic spirit, normally by a group, but occasionally by one individual toward another. It is really this kind of persecution that is carried out with a fiery zeal, as Paul talks about the persecution of the church in Philippians 3:6. But the persecuted must always remember that the fiery zeal bent against them is, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 2, they don't have a knowledge of what they're doing. They don't understand. Remember, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, when he's dying on the cross, for they don't know what they are doing. Jesus warned his disciples the night before his crucifixion. In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you. Yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Jesus makes it very clear. He instructs his disciples the night before his crucifixion that you are going to suffer persecution. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, Paul says it best. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear in me. Jesus said earlier in Luke's Gospel chapter 9, if anyone wants to be my disciple, you must learn to deny yourself and take up the cross daily and follow me. The cross was an object of death. This is not a culture of easygoing peace and prosperity. Jesus was warning them of the danger ahead. And he's saying to us today, if you want to really follow after me and be my disciple, you must first deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me daily. Luke and then Matthew warns us what will happen in the future. Jesus talked about his soon return, his second coming, but he wanted the disciples to understand where their focus needed to be. He says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved or delivered." Jesus warns his disciples, don't focus on the end time chronology. Focus on the fact that you will be persecuted. And in Luke's version, he says you will be brought before kings and governors for my sake, and you will give a testimony. But don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say in that hour. The forms of persecution in the early church were horrible. The Colosseum we talked about, beating, stoning, mocking, insults, slander, imprisonment, exile. The Apostle John was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he wrote his greatest work, the book of Revelation. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yet, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." If you want to live godly and be salt and light in this age, the Bible promises you and me, you're going to suffer persecution. The Beatitudes here show that a Christian can be filled with joy, a joy that he cannot fully express. Yet he is to lament over the things that the carnal consider as insignificant. Though the world exalts those filled with pride, self-esteem, and assertiveness, God exalts the humble and the meek. The world displays its approval for war makers by giving them ticker tape parades, putting them in high office. Yet God blesses the peacemakers. We need to understand the connection between righteousness here and persecution, because not every sufferer or even every sufferer of religious persecution suffers for righteousness' sake. Sometimes, be careful here about suffering, we suffer because of our own wanderings and sin, of our own devices. It's not really persecution. We need to be very, very careful of that. Peter says it best here. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached," persecuted, "for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." He says also, though, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody." So make sure you're suffering for the gospel's sake and not your own sinful sake. It's very important, as Peter points out here. We should never suffer for our own misconduct. A Christian's life should be the best argument that he does not deserve what is happening to him. "Blessed are you," Jesus said, "when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." That is very, very important. Jesus says to his disciples, again, he emphasizes the life of a disciple, "Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household." We are to know this and have this attitude. We are to face persecution, remembering that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Our love for Christ should be so great that we rejoice that this suffering has been given to us. If he suffered so much to give us this awesome future, why should we not gladly suffer a little for him? I want you now to take just a few minutes to hear this very powerful song about suffering, about persecution, performed by the excellent band Selah. It's a song called Be.
I was actually a really strong Muslim, really strong Muslim. Then all of a sudden, everything lost its meaning. I started to look for God. I asked my mom how she would react if I said that I became Christian. And she said, I will never ever forgive you. It's such a big decision for me. Everything was amazing in my life. I mean, I was healthy. I was going to the best university. I had many beautiful, amazing friends. My family was amazing. I was dancing, acting, singing. I was doing everything. I had money. I was living such a wonderful life. But there was always something missing. I felt it when I was a Muslim. Then after becoming a Christian, I felt that I found that lost missing piece of the puzzle. Everything changed in my life. Even the way that I look at people changed. Now I look at them with love, with real love.
Yeah.
1 week after I became Christian, a friend of mine saw me and said, "There's something that happened to you and it makes your eyes brighter."
What a beautiful song of worship. And I love the story in that song about the young Muslim girl who found true freedom and hope in Jesus. This reminds me of the tragic story of a young martyred girl in Saudi Arabia named Fatima. Fatima al-Mutari in 2008. She was from a Muslim family in Saudi Arabia, a brilliant student, and she had enrolled her in the Quranic school, and she became a devout Muslim. She practiced her faith meticulously. She refused to watch TV or listen to secular music, but one day she fell into a deep depression, and she was looking for the peace that Islam was not giving her. And through many online conversations and chats, Fatima found her hope in freedom in Jesus, but she paid a heavy cost for converting from Islam to Christianity. In July of 2008, several days before her death, she found herself in a heated argument with her parents and two brothers who were suspecting something. Her brother called her to repent. After visiting her uncle's house that night, she returned home at 1 o'clock in the morning to find her room open, her laptop gone. She found it with her brother, who had been reading her personal journal, which revealed her journey from Islam to Christ. She took it off him, returned it to her room, and emailed her friends concerning her fears. "Don't worry. As the Lord is with me, he is my light and salvation, so from whom do I fear?" That was her last communication. After this, her brother tortured her and then beat her to death. It was several days before news got out about her martyrdom. She was only 26 years old, but Fatima was a faithful and fervent follower of Jesus Christ. I end with her amazing story about a young Muslim who found her freedom and hope in Jesus and paid with her life. She was persecuted and martyred, but now she sits in heaven with her Savior, Jesus. Thank you so much for spending time with me today on our concluding teaching on the Beatitudes. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the next edition of the Cross in the Desert.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord. Darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale,